How many of y'all thank God that we've been led to the cross this morning? Nothing but the blood. How many of you are glad to know that because Jesus Christ came and chose to save you, you're in better shape today than you could absolutely be in? Huh? Anybody celebrating that today? That you're alive in Christ? You're forgiven in Christ? Well, we've been in this Give series. Now, let's kind of review for just a moment. I want you to know that you already have in you the nature to give. Because the Holy Spirit's in you. I want you to connect the dots here. When you receive Jesus Christ in your life, you receive the nature of God into your life. You understand? It's in there. And you say, well, Pastor, I didn't see much of it this week. Well, guess what? It's still what? In there. And so the reason we gather together and we celebrate and we love and we come together and sing and praise is to get what is already in here at work in us out of here. So what? So other people might understand the grace of Jesus Christ. There's three things we're going to deal with today. We're going to deal with the nature of give, to give, to give. Now remember, we've already talked about we got to learn to give some things up. How many of y'all need just some things you just got to give up? You got to throw it down just like Moses did and guess what? Just give it up. And when you give it up, then God's going to take it and you're going to have a lot better things going on. Then we talked last week about giving in. Giving in to the teachings of God. Giving in to the strength of God. Giving in to the power of God. And that'll help you walk through the what? Anybody remember last week's sermon? I'm going to preach that one again. You're going to walk through the what? You're going to get through. Now, come on. You ought to be excited about that, man. You're looking around, well, I'm going to kind of make it through. No, you're going to get through. But guess what we're going to talk about today? You got to learn to give it away. You got to give it away. Part of giving is learning how to just give it away. You know what we like to do? We like to hoard stuff. How many of y'all got a bunch of stuff around that you really don't need it? All right, now I'm going to be real confessional here. Real confessional. I like stuff. I do. I've liked stuff all my life. I've liked stuff. But guess what? Some things have changed. Here's three things I've learned about stuff. You ready? First of all, stuff will not make a life. Stuff will not make a life. How many of y'all have ever got what you wanted and when you got it, you didn't want it? I hope you didn't marry that. But you got it. I mean, have anybody here ever had that moment in life where you said, you know what, we're going to work real hard and once we get whatever one of these is that we need to get, you got it and it did not bring in the blessing you thought it was going to bring? How many of y'all have ever had one of those favorite restaurants you went to, you know, you'd eaten at it a few times, and Elizabeth and I had this a couple years ago at our anniversary. We always loved eating at 101st Airborne in Nashville, Tennessee. We just love that little restaurant, and it has some really good food. And guess what? We were going to go back and remember those times. How many of y'all ever reminisce occasionally, you know? And I remember some pretty good times on anniversary, you know, 101st. And we went back, and they closed the place up. So I began to realize that stuff isn't always going to be there. Hey, how many of y'all that far along in your journey of faith? Just some stuff just not going to always be there. Okay, first thing is this. Stuff will not bless you. It will not make your life. You can have a lot of stuff, but still not have a life. Second thing, stuff always changes. Stuff always changes. Just stuff, things change. Amen? Here, I'm going to show y'all something. How many of you, when you were younger, now some of y'all may still do this in this service, but how many of you used to play your radio real, real loud? I mean, you thumped and bumped and you had some rattle and rock coming down the road. Any of y'all ever used to do that? Did you do that, Ken? Did you bump a little bit? Now, you're a little younger than I, but back in my days, we didn't have these. Sheriff, we did not have in my day the sound equipment that is available today. I mean, today you can pull up at an intersection and you'll hear boom, boom. You get that little vibration in your own car and you look over there and here's this kid, you know, usually just reared back and he's like, boom. And they'll look over just a little bit like, I'm going, like I can't hear you, bro. You know what I mean? You're rattling the windows out of my car. I used to play my music loud back then. We had Radio Shack 100 watts equalized. 100 watts per channel. 100 watts per channel. I had a 69 Chevelle, and in the back of that 69 Chevelle, I had some 6x9 Jensen triaxial speakers. And I was blaring ZZ Top, "She Got Legs" out there in Getty's parking lot. You know. See, I had some other rednecks here. There's some people that went to Central here, all right? Y'all remember that? You go over that little speed bump. I wore out two sets of tires over that speed bump. You'd lay that car down over that speed bump. Rock, boom, come up, you know. Da-da-da-da. Loud. You know, I don't know when this happened. I do not turn my radio up anymore. Can't tell you when it happened. But it happened. And now I even say things like this when other individuals are in my car, like my son. I said, "Turn the music down." And I can hear my father going, "Turn that hippie music down. Lord have mercy." And here I am, just turn it down. Or I say, "Man, I wish you all had grown up with music where it just wasn't bump all the time. You actually had to play an instrument." Things what? I told you. And some of y'all are laughing at me. I know you're bumping right now. One day, you just turn it down. And you don't have a date that it happens. You're just going down the road and going, "How come my music ain't loud?" Then you get out of the car going, "Why don't I walk fast anymore?" And there's a lot of things. Things what? So don't hold on to them expecting the same thing. How many of y'all have ever seen somebody that won't let their self get out of a particular era they enjoyed? Don't point at your husband now. That is not a good deal. But let's say, for example, if you grew up in the 80s, you know, and Vanilla Ice kind of came through the 80s. Like, if you got a Vanilla Ice looking haircut today, you don't look good. Things what? Change. My nephew, he's at university. He's graduated from University of Missouri, and they used to collect mullet sightings, and they would take pictures of mullet sightings, and lo and behold, he came up one Christmas. We're having a family Christmas thing. He's looking through a family item, and he goes, "Can I keep this picture?" I said, "You ain't collecting my mullet, big boy." He said, "That's one of the best mullets I've ever seen." See, things what? Change. Here's the third thing. Things will not endure. They don't last. So I just want you to keep that in mind as we go through this moment of Scripture, okay? First of all, things won't bless your life. Second of all, things are always changing. And it's just really simple. Things don't last. I don't know about y'all, but I give clothes away. Why? Didn't last. Shoes don't last. Things don't last. But the reason I tell you this is because we want to embrace things. And sometimes we are so scared to give away what we hold on to. But yet, guess what Jesus does? He teaches us to give away. In fact, Dr. Leonard Sweet, my advisor, friend, colleague, and mentor, he wrote a book, and in the last chapter of this book, he encouraged everybody that when you live, you ought to bounce your last check. You ought to live such an incredible life of giving that when it's all said and done, you were able to say about your life, "I gave everything I had and a little bit that I didn't have. But I gave it away so somebody else might get what? Better." All right, well, we go to John chapter 6 and we hit this dilemma. Anybody ever had a dilemma? Anybody ever had a dilemma? How many of you ever had one of these things? What you were facing was too big for your stuff to handle. Anybody ever had that dilemma? I see we got some students with us today. You may have moved in last night. Welcome here. And if you're a freshman right now, you kind of got this feeling going on, going, "What is this?" Let me give you a couple tips for college since you're here. I suggest strongly read the books. I have found that this helped me in my collegiate career. My first semester, I did not read the books, and my collegiate career was about to be a short-lived experience. So read the books, and guess what? it's not as big as you think it is if you'll give away some things. Dilemmas seem to shrink when you give things away. It's a weird economy that God has. Because when we get in an overwhelming situation, what are we always tempted to do? Come on, talk to me a minute. What are we tempted? I mean, things are overwhelming. Bigger than we are, what do we think we can do? Come on. Huh? Well, we might hoard it, but what else? How many of y'all are this theory? If I just do more of the same thing, eventually it'll be solved. So, Chris, I'm going to do what? Do more, do more, do more. Isn't it wild? You're a weatherman and you can't change the weather. What kind of job is that? You can just report on what?
What is.
And sometimes you get it, and would you agree with me? Sometimes you don't. Because you're not in what? I'm helping you here. I'm not really getting on you. There are people that think you actually, what you say is going to happen, happens. They think you're like a weather god. And I know you're just Chris Allen who loves Jesus and is into weather. Because I know you know who makes the weather. There's some things that are uncontrollable. Like a wife. Like children. How many of y'all have had that with your children? They just became overwhelming. I was an overwhelming child to my family. I know that's hard for you all to believe. But sometimes my dad would just give me away to Jesus. And he said, "It's it, Jesus. You made it. You fix it." I'm going to show you what happened. There was an overwhelming situation, John chapter 6. Jesus had been healing people. How many of y'all are glad to know that we have a healing Jesus? Hello, it's in the Scripture. Jesus had been healing sick people. He had not just been taking prayer requests. He had actually been healing them. This is a good indication that Jesus is not a Baptist. If you'll read the Scripture, you'll find that Jesus looks nothing like a Baptist. Baptists get near sick people, they go, "What's wrong?" Jesus says, "Be well." I like Jesus. Jesus doesn't ask for a report. He delivers a solution. Hold that thought. And he'd been healing some sick people, and people kind of get excited when they get well. Hello? People get excited when they get well, and great crowds begin to follow. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. How many of y'all realize that one of the things church ought to do is help people get well? This is a radical concept. I like to be a part of the church because I feel like my life gets better because I spend some time on Sundays and in Bible study and in prayer and hanging out with people who believe in Jesus. How many of y'all get better? Okay, five of you. Good. We really need to improve here. Did anybody come to church today with this mind? I'm going to come to worship today. I'm going to praise God today. I'm going to hear some truth out of God's Word today. And I'm convinced I'm going to be better today because I gave myself to God. Did anybody come here with that attitude? Oh, okay. You see, that's what church is about. God help you, don't ever make the church an organization. Now, there's a quick way to feel like you're in hell. Here's the good news. Jesus doesn't want us to be in hell. How many of y'all glad about that? I love his message. He said, Jesus said, "Get out of hell." I said, "Hey, I'm with you." Big dilemma. Coach, you ever faced a big dilemma? Team was absolutely better. You ever played a team that you knew was better than you? Now, somehow we think we can do more and it'll fix the situation. I'm going to show you what happened in the situation. Incredible. Great crowds gathering. Jesus is just strolling around. People are following Jesus. By the way, just a side note, if we stay in Jesus, a great crowd will gather. I'm asked at these church conferences all the time, "How come people come to y'all's church?" I said, probably because Jesus runs first. Jesus has a knack at gathering crowds. It's just his deal. I mean, if you read the New Testament, Jesus just shows up. No CNN, no PR, no publicity. I found this. When people get well, people tend to see what's going on. I've often wondered if the Church of Jesus Christ in America would be about what it was supposed to be about if we wouldn't see greater crowds. We're into everything now, but Jesus, we're into doing rock and roll shows. We're into doing, you know, restaurants, and we're into doing gymnasiums. I wonder what would happen if we just got into the teachings of Jesus. Maybe sick people will be healed. Maybe people will gather to hear, what is this true word? Well, they're all gathering, and Jesus leans over. And then Jesus went up on the mountain and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. Now, Jesus is just sitting with his what? Come on, get in the table. He's sitting down with his what? And then he asked him a question. When Jesus looked up and saw the great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He sees a great crowd, a great dilemma. Jesus knows they're hungry, and he asks them this question. Where are we going to buy bread to take care of this situation? How many of you know that there are just some things in your life you can't buy your way out of? Hmm? How many of y'all have ever tried to buy your way out of it? Oh, won't work. How many of y'all have ever tried to buy a life? Was that not frustrating? If I just get this thing, everything's going to be all right. If I just get to this house, everything's going to be all right. If I just have this look and this image, everything's going to be all right. Anybody ever been there? You get there and what happens? You the same sick puppy you were. You just a dressed up sick puppy. Are you just a sick puppy in a Corvette? Or you? He never fixes the problem. Jesus asked them, how are we going to feed these folk? How are we going to buy bread for these people? Now, here's what I love about God. That's why I follow Jesus. He asked him this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Now, hold on. How many of y'all glad to have a Jesus that when he asks you a question about a dilemma, he's already got a plan for what he's going to do? Anybody glad this morning that Jesus already has a plan for the dilemma you're sitting on, but he might ask you something so you would do what? So you might learn who he is. How are we going to feed all these folks? Well, Philip was kind of like Pastor Mark Hale. He is an administrative type, and he immediately goes to what they can do. He said, "You know what? Here's what we eat. Oh, 8 months' wages won't even buy everybody a crumb." See, this is the dilemma I have and the issue I have with the church. I'm tired of us talking about money. It hadn't worked. The church has more money flowing through it today than any other time and has the lousiest experience of God than any other time. It's not about money. It's where you put what you have. Where you put it? Because here's what I learned. I don't have enough to get a life. Anybody hearing that same strain? I don't have enough to get a life. I don't have enough. And then I got a dilemma here at Hillview, and I want to invite you as the congregation that has been selected to, guess what? Witness to this world in South Central Kentucky, Southeastern United States. You ready? Watch this. There's more people that don't know Jesus than know Jesus. A great crowd. And you know what? We can't sing enough, we can't preach enough, we can't dance enough, and we can't smile enough to get them to connect it to Jesus. So we're going to, instead of doing a lot of stuff, we're going to have to give away what we have to guess who? Jesus. You know why? He's already got a plan in mind. How many of y'all glad to know he's already got it figured out? Wow. Man, that's some relief. I'm glad to know that Jesus has got me figured out. How many of y'all glad to know that Jesus has got you figured out? How many of y'all are messed up? Boy, I am. Y'all got a messed up pastor. Y'all could have got a real pastor. Comb over hair and real nice, good smile. Y'all could have got one that was a Disney World pastor that told you everything was wonderful in the world. And if you just say three prayers and get a couple Bible verses and have a quiet time every morning, your life is going to be, you know, just wonderfully blessed. And that works for about a month until you meet real life and there's a great dilemma and there's a great crowd and you can't feed them and you better have a real Jesus. Because it's not about what I'm going to do and it's not about what you're going to do. It's about what will you give away to who can do it. Think about your life. What's some stuff you could just give away? Now, I'm going to blow you away here. How many of you all realize that everybody has something that could do something great? I want you to hear me loud and clear. Having stuff is not a bad thing. Christians followers of Jesus Christ that have stuff. There is nothing wrong with that as long as you know the stuff is there to bless somebody else. My ride's a little hopped up. It's got a little bling on it. I got some of my kids that I coach. Every once in a while I take them home. Guess what? I let my ride become a connection point for their greater good. Because guess what they'll ask me? They say, "Coach, man, where you get a ride like this?" I said, "Let me tell you where you get a ride like this. You go to school for 26 years. And you make good grades. Isn't that right, DeMonte? And you keep your head on right. Ain't that right, Red? And you ride your bicycle till you get fast. Ain't that right, Red? And you stay focused. And guess what will happen one day? You will give away your life to a purpose that God can bring that reality to you." Blows them away. What's God doing with a thing? He's using it as a connection point. I just want to tell you, don't get addicted to your stuff. But let your stuff be touched by God so the great crowd can get blessed. Amen? And I think everything can be used as a blessing. Even when we mess up, that can be used as a blessing if you'll get honest about messing up. If you'll tell the world, "I absolutely made the wrong decision here. I did not do what God asked of me. But now I've repented and I'm going to do what God asked of me. And I'm going to have a better solution because now I'm doing what God asked of me." And guess what that's called? Repentance. And you have a better life. People get blessed from that. Wow. God, I'm sorry. How many of y'all have ever messed up? Anybody here? How many of y'all have ever cussed somebody as a believer in Jesus Christ? Boy, we'll cuss in church. Let me work on that. That's real. It's honest. It's what happens. There's great dilemmas. And Jesus said, "How are we going to feed these folk?" Philip said, "Man, we ain't got enough money today. We spend 8 months' wages. Crump. How am I going to get past what I can't do?" Give it to Jesus. Give it away. There's a little boy sitting in the crowd. I don't know this little boy's name. I've always called him Johnny. I wish we had some names, you know, but he's a little boy. Now, I don't know about y'all, but man, you take my Twinkies from lunch, that's a big gift when you're a little boy. Jesus said, "Philip, here's what I'm going to say. I understand, Philip, that you're exhausted. And I understand that you can't find enough resources for the dilemma. But I want you to know, somebody's got something in the crowd that can be used by me." Man, I wonder what God could do with this crowd that gathers at Hillview if we were willing to give away the something that we got. See, we always want to do something big. You notice that? You know what I'm talking about, Richard? I mean, everybody wants to have like a highlight reel moment for God. And sometimes you just need to give you bread and your fish. And there's a little boy. Simon, Peter's brother, spoke up and he said, "We got a little boy over here. Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will that go among so many?" Farther than you think. What you got to give will go farther than you what? Farther than you. I'm working with you here. Farther than you. How many of y'all don't give those $2 because you think, "Well, man, that ain't going to make no difference in this church"? How many of y'all have ever done that and let the devil take you out of a blessing? "Well, I know we probably got some rich people at Hillview and my little $2 ain't going to make a difference." Hold on. Who's touching your $2? When Jesus touched your $2, that becomes a powerful $2. You see, when Jesus touches your $2, it's no longer $2. It is God's activity. You see, these were just regular loaves, and they just regular barley loaves, and they just 2 fish. They just absolutely 2 fish. But he gave them to Jesus, and when he put them in Jesus' hands, what's happening? Great things are going to happen from an attitude of giving. And I believe that applies in every one of our lives. And that's a nature of God. Well, guess what happened? Jesus touched these loaves. I heard this preached one time by one of my more liberal colleagues. And they said, "Well, maybe the great miracle was as the little boy shared his loaf and his fish, and other people had lunches, and they shared their loaves and fishes, That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says we got a little boy, he gave up his lunchbox and God fed everybody. Let me help you. If you get that kind of attitude, here's what I'm trying to get you to see. When you preach foolishness like he just preached, that's foolishness. You know what he believes? He believes humanity can do more than God. Well, here's what I found about humanity. We're a selfish bunch. We don't say, God, have your way. We say, God, I need to get mine. How many of y'all have had some problems because you getting yours all the time? I'm going to get mine. Huh? Y'all ever heard that slogan? It's big in rap music. I'm going to get mine. How many of y'all want to get what's coming to you? Really? You really want to get what's coming to you? I don't want to get what's coming to me. Because guess what's coming to me? Hell's coming to me if not for Jesus. And you know why hell's coming to me? I earned it. That's why I like boys with a lunchbox. They teach me how to operate in the Spirit. God, here's my lunch. If you need it, here it is. All five pieces of bread and two fish. I don't know what you're going to do with it, but if you need it, here's my what? Lunch. I'll give it away. Now, don't just give it away. Give it away to who? Jesus. $2 of feed a multitude. It's amazing, this giving concept of God. How many of y'all have given stuff away and never missed it? But just dream with me once again. I'm going to jog your minds. You want to see revival in this church? Everybody tithe that claims to follow Jesus. Now, if you don't follow Jesus, don't tithe because you're going to need that money on your way to hell. At least you can buy a beer or something to cool off before you get there. That's where you're headed. That's facts. But if you're following Jesus, how many? What if you gave away? Here's what's so funny about a tithe. What if you gave away what he already asked for? What would happen to the church? I can tell you right now why the church in America stinks. It doesn't tithe. It loves money more than God. And until we get over that issue, Rick, my brother's here, we can have meetings and conventions and prayer meetings and prayer gatherings and jump up and down and go sideways and have gospel music and rock and roll music. But guess what? Until we get obedient to what God says, the multitude will stay unchanged. Obedience. I'll give it away. Here's my lunch. Here's what I have, God. Use it. How many of y'all would love to have this on your epitaph, on your last words? When they walk by your life, they gave everything they had to Jesus so the rest of us could be better. You know what you call that? A full and abundant life. You call that a human soul blessed by God. You call that a follower of Jesus. I'll give it away. It's not mine anyway. Because here's what I've learned. Things will never bless my life. Things are always changing. And guess what? Things won't be there in the end. You see, they ate up all the food. And they even had some left over. He said, when they had had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are all left over. Let nothing be what? Wasted. Mark Hale, our executive pastor, he lives by those words. That's why great things are going on in this church. He lives by those words. I can tell you right now, he values every penny given in this church. You know why? He wants nothing to be wasted. He wants everything and every resource and every energy that we have in this church to be driven so that one person might come to know Jesus Christ. So that she might be baptized and blessed in the beauty of God. Give it what? Away to who? Jesus. And what will happen? You get blessed. Others will get blessed. Well, let me ask you a question. How many of y'all believe this story is real? Do you think somebody just made it up? Okay, we got two, three, keep it, think it's real. Four, five. It's like an auction. Hey, give me 45. Huh? I think it's a real story. I think there was a little boy. And he gave his lunch to Jesus, and Jesus fed 5,000 men. He said 5,000 men were there. Now, you know some of them had some women. So probably 5,000 ladies. And you know if ladies are there, some children are there. So it was more than 5,000 were fed on that day. And everybody had a what? Enough. You know what amazes me? I go to other countries, sit down in a house that looks like a garage, one of our garages, eat a meal, and that meal is more energizing than a $100 meal in the United States. You know why? Because of the sacrifice that's made for that meal to be given. And there's just a spirit to it. And it might be rice and gonzo beans, but they're blessed rice and blessed gonzo beans because they've been given away to who first? Jesus. Isn't that cool? Just some words. Give some stuff away. To who? See what happens. I am going to continue to encourage you. Give you tithe. That's required. After you learn to tithe, then start giving a little away and see what happens. Now watch. I know a lot of you have been taught this. Well, if I give to God, then He'll give me a bunch back. That's bogus. That's not God giving. That doesn't look anything like the feeding of the 5,000. The boy got enough. God will take what you have and bless a whole lot of other folks. A lot more than you think. If you'll learn to give what? Away. Do you believe me? You believe me? You believe this? Things won't bless your life. They won't make you who you are. Huh? They won't. Things change all the time. How many of y'all that far along in the journey? They change all the time. Change all the time. And how many of you found this? I think when you get here, you start getting free. After all of life is said and done, after all the stories of written and recording, the one thing that will still be standing is a person, and His name is Jesus Christ, and He will never go away, and He will love you no matter what. And if you're in Him, you will be standing there with Him. There were leftovers in this miracle. After this world comes to a close, there will be some leftovers, and you and I will be one of them because we're going to be left over with who? Jesus. Can the church say amen? Amen. Anybody learn anything today? Anybody learn anything today? Anybody leaving here a little better than they were? Okay, let me ask you another question. God put on your mind some things you might need to give away. College students, give away bad study habits right now. Give them to who? Jesus. Things will be better in your life. Give away and bless others. Y'all feel the vibe? Give away, bless others. It's a great way to live. It's a great way to live. How many of y'all have enough? Yeah, so we all start thanking God for having enough. Got enough. Because let me show you something. Before the bread and the fish became a miracle, thanks were given for it. Jesus took the bread and He blessed it and He thanked God for it. And He took the fish and He thanked God for it. And so I want us to begin to thank God for what we have instead of always asking God for something else. And see what happens when you learn to do what? Now, there's motions to this sermon series. You ready? There's been motions. You ready? Let's get our motions down. We've had three teachings. First teaching, from Moses, we learned you got to do what? Give it up. Throw it down. Give it up. Whatever you're holding on to, what? That's first activity to give. You got, sometimes you got to throw stuff down. Give it up. Then last week, we learned you got to do what? Don't give what? In. You got to give in to what God said. Remember? Give in to what God said, you get through the fire. And today, what do we learn? Fish and loaves we give away. And then guess what we're going to learn next week? Give back. Give back. How many of y'all this making sense to you? Now, dream with me. If we started living just in the give concept of God, how does that reshape our congregation? It's phenomenal. Try it. Try it. If you haven't tithed, start tithing. I dare you to tithe. I double dog dare you to tithe. See what God does in your life. So, Pastor Harris, you don't understand, I can't tithe because I have debt. No, you don't understand the reason you have debt because you don't tithe. Because see, you already so stupid, you'll live on more than 100% of your income. And if you were really listening to God, God automatically says, that's a no-no. That's trouble. He said, learn to live on 90. Give me my cut, my 10. Learn to live on your 90. And in fact, you keep on going like that, you'll learn to live on enough and use what's left over to bless the rest. Great way to live. Just interesting to me that God heals a lot of people and then talks about giving. You reckon there's a connection? And here's the final word today. Don't anybody doubt in here. Don't anybody doubt in here. You have something great to give to God. And don't ever feel like what you have is not important. Because it is. Amen? God gave a way to us. Hear how I said that. God gave a way to us. His name is Jesus. He knew that we were out. We had a great dilemma. We could not fix our sin. We could not spend enough to get out of sin. What do you think, brother? Can't buy your way to heaven and can't pay your way out of hell. How many of y'all found that to be true? You can't buy your way to heaven. Led Zeppelin, he lying. She ain't buying her stairway to heaven. She's paying her walkway to hell. It's only one way into heaven. I don't care how gooey-ooey politically correct you are. Some of y'all are going to go up before God and say, God, I was so tolerant. He said, yeah, go to hell. God, I'm so nice to everybody. I was from the South. I baked cookies for folk, and I petted them on the head, and I smiled at them before I gossiped behind their back, Lord. Hell is that way. Here's heaven's way. Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't fix my dilemma. I can't buy my way out of the situation. I have been caught in my sin. God said, I gave away. And His name is Jesus. And He said, anybody, how many of y'all glad? For whosoever. Anybody glad about that word? I got some of my colleagues that are messed up on that word right now. Bunch of boneheads. We got a world going to hell and they're trying to determine who's in, who's out. None of our business. My business is to tell you how to get in.
Amen.
Here's the way you get in. Lord, I'm a sinner, man. I've messed up. How many of y'all have messed up? You know how you know you messed up? Any of y'all ever read the Ten Commandments? You just got to know verse 1. Most of us broke that one. Watch this. Have no other gods before me. Any of y'all had some other gods before God? Yep, you bust the first one. The others kind of just flow. You know, adultery, stealing, coveting. I love the Ten Commandments in people's front yards. I don't know if that helps the grass grow or what the point of that is. All I know is most Saturdays that I drive by, people are violating one of the commandments. It says honor the Sabbath. And they'll be out there. They even got stone tablets you can set out there in your front yard now. And you get out there. I have noticed that the tablets do not keep the grass from dying. I drove by the other day and I saw a non-Ten Commandment yard and I saw a Ten Commandment yard and they were dead on both situations. I'd like the Ten Commandments in your yard as long as you put a cross in front of them. Because the only way you can keep the Ten Commandments is you better have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because the Ten Commandments are there to show you, you and I are sinners, and our good works can't get us to heaven. And there's only one way to heaven. And today He's here. And He gave a way. His name is God. He gave a way whose name is Jesus. And Jesus said, if you will believe in me and ask me to forgive you, what will I do? Says Jesus. What will He do? Forgive you. How many of y'all glad to be forgiven? I was a mess and got forgiven. What about you? Huh? Mama T, were you a mess? And now you're not a mess, are you? You a blessed mess. Amen? How many of y'all ready to go from a mess to a blessed mess? That's what I'm talking about. Now when I mess up, I can rely on the grace of God. And God will come into your life. Amen. All right, well, let's stand up. We're going to have a little altar call here. God told you to give away something. Come here and pray to Him about it. If you need a relationship with Jesus Christ, pray with me right now. We're going to pray. And if you'll ask God in your life, He'll save you. I can guarantee you that. Now, watch this. Some of you have already asked Christ into your life this week, and you need to come here because you need to be baptized. You need to follow that obedience. So we're going to ask God to draw those who need to be saved today and draw those who need to be baptized today. Guess what? We've talked about Jesus healing the sick. If you have some illnesses, we need to come and what? Pray over those. Amen? Y'all here today? Y'all want to see God do something great today? Some of y'all need to give this away. You stand at your chair every altar call. And it's not because God doesn't call you to the altar. It's because you have a church disease called habit.
And you say, well, by gosh, I'm going to stand here because I'm going to take care of it by myself. I don't use the altar. Well, use it. You say, well, I wasn't a General Baptist. I don't care what you were. I'm a Jesus follower. Come and bow down on your knees and say, God, help me give like that little boy gave his lunch. Amen?
Lord, we pray right now and ask you, whoever it is today, maybe 100, it may be one, but there's somebody here today that needs you. So today, ask Him, Lord Jesus, come into my what? Say it, church. Forgive me of my what? There you go. Jesus, you're real and I want to know it. Come into my life. Here's a great prayer of salvation. God, I hadn't understood a thing that guy said. Help me understand who you are. He'll answer that prayer. This is a good prayer. Jesus, help. He'll start there. If you say, I wonder this is real, don't trust me. Ask Jesus, too. Just ask Him in prayer right now. Jesus, are you real or did somebody make you up? He'll answer. When He does, you got to answer. Amen. If you need God, He's in your seat and He's up here at the altar and He's outside in the parking lot and He's all over the world. His name is Jesus. He would love for you to be one of His today. If you've never been baptized, I want to encourage you to be obedient. Jesus said, be baptized. Why is it important? Jesus said it. Jesus said it. Lord, this is your time. God, and I pray you just do your great things. We stay out of your way. And we come today humbly before you, realizing that you can do great works in us. So God, I am absolutely believing if you can use 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish, oh God, what you might do with this church if we would learn to give a few things away. Amen. Well, guess what? It's your time to come. As God draws you, just let Him speak into your heart. Let's worship together. Come on, church.